Now, in talking about that, I'm just going to jump right into our message for today. That we're talking about all these things because, of course, the Christmas season has begun. This is the first Sunday of Advent, that a time every year where, as it's a church tradition, that four Sundays before Christmas, we start focusing our attention on the birth of Christ, leading up to the Christmas day. We want to prepare our hearts to really be focused and celebratory on what Christmas is really all about. But one of the challenges of Christmas in our culture today, it has become such a huge cultural tradition as well, right? We hear about Christmas in all kinds of different forms in our culture today. And this practice of giving gifts at Christmas, while it is a good thing in itself, it's a great way to express love and generosity toward people, it has also gotten wrapped up in a lot of commercialism and selfishness. So I was writing these things, I'm reminded of how many ads I see these days encouraging people, even before Christmas, to come in and return those gifts that you've been given that you don't like in exchange for something you really want, right? That is the message our culture often sends out about gift-giving these days. Get what you want, right? Buy something for yourself or get rid of the stuff that people give you that's now good and get something for yourself, right? That's become our cultural mindset, and sometimes it's difficult for us as Christians not to get caught up in that, right? But to really stay focused on what Christmas is really all about. And so that's why I think the Advent tradition is so valuable. As we draw near to Christmas, we're going to intentionally draw our hearts and minds into focus on Jesus and the incredible expression of God's love for us in giving his Son. Christmas is a celebration of Jesus' willingness to humble himself as God in the flesh. He came into this world as a helpless child, placing himself in dependence upon weak and sinful human beings. So over the next several weeks, as we move toward Christmas Day, I want to draw our attention to what God has done for us in giving us his Son. And I'm going to do that by focusing on four gifts that we receive from God through Jesus' presence. My prayer is that, first of all, our Christmas celebrations will be all the richer because we're really focusing our attention on the love of God and what he's done for us. And secondly, I hope that when you see the incredible generosity of our Heavenly Father, that you will be motivated to share those same gifts freely with other people. And not just now at Christmas time, but every day. That we would throw off anything that holds us back, throw off fears and doubts, any kind of cultural peer pressures that so often hold us back from interacting with other people and truly expressing the love of God to them. If we could see just how amazingly generous God has been, maybe we would see past all of that and pour out those gifts into other people's lives as well. So what gifts did God make available to us by sending Jesus into this world? Well, I'm going to start first by reading something that the Apostle Paul wrote in his letter to the Romans. So if you would open up your Bibles to Romans chapter 5, we're going to begin reading there. We're going to focus our attention in this passage today. Let's see what Paul said about the gifts that we received through Jesus. Starting right at the beginning of Romans 5. Previous to this, Paul was talking about salvation through Christ, what it means to be righteous because of Christ's sacrifice. And in the beginning of chapter 5, he says, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have a peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of the Lord." And there are several blessings or gifts that Paul mentions in there that we have because of this salvation we have through Christ. He talks about peace and grace. And he talks about rejoicing in the hope of the glory of God. And I'm going to begin with that one today. We rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. So our focus today is on hope. And I want to describe for you the gift of hope available to us because Jesus came into our world. So first of all, we have to ask, well, what is hope? And hope is one of those words that by itself has several different meanings behind it, depending on how you use it and how you think about it. Biblical hope, hope that comes through Jesus, is not the kind of hope that you talk about when you say, "Boy, I really hope Santa brings me a car for Christmas." Right? That's what you call wishful thinking. And we use the term in that way a lot of times. I really hope something will happen, meaning this is just something that I want. I really desire this, and boy, if something in the universe could make it happen, I would be so happy. Right? That's just wishful thinking. That's not what the Bible talks about when it refers to hope. And there's two ways that Paul makes it clear in this very passage what he's talking about when he talks about hope. First of all, is in the word that he actually used. And this is one of the nice things, the fun things about translations. We have an English translation of what Paul actually wrote. And a single word that can have multiple different meanings might have a more specific meaning in a different language. This is often the case. So I went into my resources that I have, and I looked up what was the Greek word that Paul used here in this passage. And that is the word elpis. And the word elpis expresses a longing for something that you have confidence and security in. This is an expression of knowing something is going to happen someday, and you're just longing for the day that it happens. There is a security and a solidity behind that. There's no wishfulness implied here. This is the kind of hope in which you're holding on to a future promise. Something you know is going to happen, and nothing in this world is going to make you fall away from that because you know the truth. Clinging to that confidence, no matter what else might tell you, it's not going to happen. So Paul is saying that through Jesus, we have a confidence that we will know the glory of God, and that is a hope that we can rejoice in. Now there's another way that Paul points to this kind of hope as you continue reading in chapter 5 here. So let me pick it up in verse 3. He says, "Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us." So there's that word hope again. And I stopped and looked at this, and I thought, well, how does character produce hope? I mean, how are those connected? And again, character is one of those words that you can define in a few different ways. And some people, when they look at this passage, they see it as developing a strong moral integrity. Basically, becoming more mature, more righteous, right? You go through these trials, you develop perseverance, and you become more committed to God. And they would say that hope produced here would be the kind of hope that, in which you have a strong moral character, and that's going to bring you success in life. And I have to tell you that falls far short of the kind of hope that we have in Jesus Christ. It's not what Paul's talking about here. That would be a hope that you have in your own abilities, and not in anything that God has granted to you. Right? A hope that I can develop enough character that I would make the right choices and have success in life. That's not what Paul's talking about. Because we will all always fall short in some way. Paul is talking about something much bigger and grander than anything we can produce on our own. So I looked at the word character that Paul used. It's the Greek word dokme. And it refers to being tried and approved. It means tried and approved. It's something that you develop because you've been through a trial and you have come out the other side stronger. You have developed something. Your faith has been tested and you have proven true. And that clarifies the progression that Paul is talking about here. Trials lead to testing. And in order to get through those trials, you need to have perseverance. You persevere in your faith and trust in the Lord. And because you've learned the strength and the goodness of God through those trials, you now know the true source of hope. And that's the character you've developed. You have been tested and tried, and you have come out the other side knowing beyond a shadow of doubt that God is for you and with you. And that produces hope that will withstand any test. Your faith is no longer based on something somebody told you about or something you read about. It is based on your own experiences of seeing the Lord at work in your life. And that gives you a hope that you can stand on. It's a hope with substance, a hope that tells you that you truly can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. So this is the gift that God has given us in Jesus, a hope an enduring and substantial knowledge that God will come through in all his goodness and glory whenever it is needed. And take a look at verse 5 again in Romans 5. He says that hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out his love into our hearts. So it's not based upon us or our abilities or the abilities of anybody else in this world, but it's based upon God and his abilities. All of this came about because Jesus came into our world. Paul describes here that hope won't disappoint us because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he's given us. And at just the right time when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. That happened in our lives because Jesus came into the world. The hope we have in him is based on the knowledge of God's love through the actions he's already taken. And God doesn't change or come up short in the way he interacts with us. Numbers 23:19, in referring to God, says, God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should change his mind. Has he said and he will not do? Has he spoken and he will not fulfill? If God has promised it, if God has already done it, it's going to happen. We can have confidence in God's provision. And that's why hope doesn't disappoint, the kind of hope that comes through Jesus Christ. Understanding that, though, I don't know if it fully captures the enormity of God's gift of hope yet. And there's more we need to consider. So let's continue on. I'm going to go back to verse 6 again, which I already read. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So Paul points out to this contrast, you're hardly ever going to find somebody who's willing to die, even for a good person. It might happen sometimes. But Christ died for the ungodly. He made a much greater sacrifice than any person has ever done. And we really need to have a God's eye view of the world as we consider this. This world is full of ungodliness. It's full of violence and hatred. There's all kinds of divisions between people. It's full of abuse and addiction. Addictions to just about anything you can imagine, really. And not only are people simply disobedient to God, we rebel and disrespect him. We deny his existence. We claim that our ways are better than his. People will go out of their way to say that it can't be possible that God would think this because this is what I feel. And in that way, we're rebelling against God and saying we know better than he does. And that's the state of the world we live in because of the state of the human heart. It's not just the way those people think. It's the way we think as well. All of us have been guilty of rebelling against the Lord. We crave self-satisfaction. We want self-glorification. We seek self-determination and self-glorification in the ways that we think and act. And it's been like this since the very beginning, since the first people sinned against God. And in a world like that, a world full of people living for themselves, you're not going to find much real hope. We have really good reasons to believe that bad things are going to happen to good people in this world. Right? And we have good reason to believe that people will crush others to get what they want. It'll happen. In our household, we love to talk about technology and the great things that can happen. In almost every conversation we have, we think about the good things and we know that somebody will also use it for bad. That's the way our world works. We have reasons to believe that we will be judged harshly, that our failures will be held against us, and we have good reason to believe that we ourselves will do wrong and hurt other people. There's not much hope in that, is there? Things will go wrong. People need hope, though. We need something to hold on to that says life is actually worth living. That goals and dreams are really worth pursuing. And that against all odds, there will be good that comes from trying hard, from learning more, from growing, from pursuing a better tomorrow. But where does that hope come from in this world? I found an article published by Psychology Today on December 26, 2011, about the importance of hope. And it states that having goals in life is not enough to live a successful life. Because life is full of obstacles. You have to know that there is some reasonable chance that you can actually attain those goals. And that's what hope is. You have to have some hope that if I have a goal in mind, I could actually attain it. Without hope, there's no point in even trying. Hope is essential to life. And people will look for hope in all kinds of places, won't they? That's one of the reasons we have celebrity worship in our culture. We make role models out of entertainers because we view them as examples to live up to. We want somebody to say, hey, I should be more like them. And that can give us hope. But the reality is, we all know that all humans have flaws, and those celebrities almost always fall short. This is the reason people get caught up into addictions of all kinds. They're looking for hope in something, and oftentimes they're hoping they can escape the worries of life that leave them feeling so hopeless to begin with. Our culture actually promotes the idea that we have it within ourselves to find the hope that we need to overcome these obstacles. In fact, I saved a screenshot from an ad for the latest Christmas movie that just hits the point I'm trying to make. If I can get my phone to come on. There we go. There's a movie called Christmas Chronicles coming out, and here's what the Facebook page says as the caption. We need Christmas to remind us of how good we can be. And that's another piece of Christmas in our culture today. Christmas is all about reminding ourselves of how good we can be. The common theme in these holiday movies is that life is dismal without the Christmas spirit, which is encompassed in all of us coming together and believing. And sometimes it's just this, you have to believe, right? Believe in what? And most of the time, what do they tell us to believe in? Yourself? Or who's the other person we should believe in at Christmas time? There's actually somebody else. Santa. Believe in Santa because he will remind us of how good we can be. That's the message of our culture at Christmas time. Again, culture embraces self-improvement, self-satisfaction, saying you have it within you to be a better you and to make this world a better world. But we all know that it's not true. We all know we fall short. Even programs like Alcoholics Anonymous recognizes that people in addictions do not have it within themselves to overcome addictions. One of the tenets of those programs is you need to point to a higher power. You have to believe in a higher power. Now, a secular program like that doesn't name that higher power, but they acknowledge that you need something. Medical science understands that there's a need for something beyond just medical technology. That there is power in prayer and spirituality. We need something better than ourselves. People also turn to institutions like government and businesses and even the church as their source for hope in their lives. They believe that those institutions will provide for those needs and make sure everything is going to be okay. And we actually know that there are people in authority today who make all kinds of promises of false hope, things that they cannot fulfill. And we're going to try really hard not to do that here at this church, because that's not what church exists for. We're not here to just make sure everybody's lives are okay. We can't possibly do it. We will fall short. Church exists for a greater purpose, and that is pointing people to the only true source of hope, which is Jesus Christ. There are clear signs in our world today that none of the common places people go for hope are actually working. NBC News reported earlier this year that major depression is increasing among all Americans, all across the country, and especially among teens and young adults. And why? Why is it increasing? Well, the reasons are, first of all, stress from busyness. And the second is lack of community. We're interacting less and less face-to-face with other people. And that's what I was referring to about social media. Social media is a false community that a lot of people have bought into. It has its purposes, right? I use it, but it's not a replacement for actual interaction with people. And people are spending less time actually interacting face-to-face with others. And the article states this. It says, if you don't have a community to reach out to, then your hopelessness doesn't have any place to go. We need community. And as I say that, I'm going to remind you of the necessity of being part of a small group with other Christians. That is why our small groups exist. They're not just to get together and read the Bible and gain knowledge, but to build community, real community. You get a little taste of it here on Sunday mornings, but it's really built in those interactions week after week where we go deep with one another. So please, get involved in a small group that helps you build that community. And here's an even greater emphasis on the need for hope. The Centers for Disease Control reports that the leading cause of death in America today is suicide. Suicide rates are on the rise in every state across the United States. People are stressed about jobs, relationships, money, and they reach a point where they feel completely hopeless and find no reason to continue. And all of this is happening at the same time in history in America when there are fewer people actively involved in churches and fewer people claiming Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Is there any coincidence that those two things are going together? To put it plainly, we need hope. We need a substantial and reliable hope to survive in this world. Your life depends upon it. And I will tell you that if your source of hope on a daily basis is in any person, whether it be a celebrity or a spouse or other family member or a politician, whoever it could be, they cannot provide a sustainable hope. They will let you down in some way. If your hope is in any kind of substance or any kind of escape, it will trap you and hurt you. Your life cannot be sustained by anything or anyone less than an all-powerful, generous, loving, and grace-filled God. So even though none of us deserved it, Jesus took on human form, entered into our broken world, and died for us. That's the kind of hope that fills you with joy. That's the kind of hope we can rejoice in. In making that sacrifice, Jesus agreed to take on the judgment for your sin. He took the death penalty in your place so that when you recognize God and you recognize that your sin against him, you can know that your sins have been paid for full, that you will not have them counted against you anymore. You can know that you're forgiven, that weight can be lifted off of you, and you can continue to live in hope for a better day, to live more fully for God. God no longer acknowledges those sins as part of your life when you confess them to him and seek his forgiveness. And not only that, because you're free from that burden of sin, God is now able to be in your life on a daily, minute-by-minute basis in a much more direct and intimate way than he ever could before. He places his Holy Spirit with you to lead you in an entirely new way. You have hope through Jesus to live a better life than you could ever do on your own. That is the only dependable source of hope that I know of. The only reason to keep going when life gets impossible is the knowledge of God's love for me demonstrated in the life of Jesus. So when Jesus was born, the substance of God's hope came into our world. I want to take a moment just to praise him for that. And I want to give us all the opportunity to just receive that hope and that love in Christ. Take a moment as we pray to reflect on what an enormous gift that is. And if you haven't received that gift for yourself, it's available to you right now. You have the opportunity as we pray today to receive God's gift of hope for your life, to receive an opportunity to live for something greater than yourself, to know that God is with you and for you from this moment on. So I encourage you, if you haven't already, to begin a new life today with a new hope that comes from Jesus Christ. Let's just pray and give thanks to the Lord. Lord God, I just can't thank you enough that we have life because of you and through you. When we really stop to think about it, Lord, this world by itself doesn't have much to offer us for hope. It's difficult. It's challenging. It's full of obstacles and disappointments, Lord. And we have to find some way each day to continue on, Lord, and you have given us a reason that we never deserved to receive. You have poured out such love and grace into our lives that we want to return that favor to you. We want to give you everything we have, Lord. We want to continue to live better, to do more, to just express the love that you have poured into us. I thank you for the gift of hope that you've given us all, Lord, and let us all receive it anew today. Remind us what a valuable gift it is. And for anyone here today who has not yet received that gift of hope, Lord, I just pray that you be close to them right now. Prompt them to just share their life with you. Help them to know that as they express that faith, they receive you into your life, that they have a new life to live for now because of you. Let's be close to them, Lord. Help them to connect to this community of believers that you've given them so they can grow strong in that faith, develop that tested character, and let that hope grow strong. Thank you for all these things, Lord. We thank you for the gift of hope that you've given us. In Jesus' name. And before we close out with our song, I do have to add one more thing. Right? This hope that we have in Jesus is nothing less than the source of sustaining life. It's one of the incredible gifts that we have from God. And not only do I pray that you walk away today with a deeper sense of gratitude and rejoicing in the Lord, but I pray that we would be much more aware of the need that people in our world have for hope. That you would be generous sharing that gift. People are literally dying for lack of hope. And you know the source of true hope. So will you pray and seek out opportunities to make a connection with people in need of hope? Share freely with what you've been given. Let me just close with this passage from 1 Peter 3, where he writes, "For who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. So do not fear what they fear. Do not be frightened. But in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord, and always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you for the reason, for the hope that you have." And let us do it with gentleness and respect. Let's not be afraid to share the hope that we have. Amen.
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 Oh, sorry. One more thing. Sorry, guys.
Okay. All right.
If you want to read more about hope, we have a stack of these books called The Gift of Hope, or The Book of Hope, in the back. Or if you have a friend who might benefit from knowing more about the hope in Jesus Christ, take one of these with you today. All right. Thanks, guys.